Oh, we're going already.
No, not yet.
No, we're not going.
Not yet. Oh, now we're going.
Oh, we are going. Oh. Okay. Big week in nothing happening at all.
It's hard to keep up with how little is happening.
We've just not been doing our jobs for weeks now. But, okay. Breaking news. Gavin Newsom says that he might not even get rid of those tariffs, actually. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, this was pretty incredible. So he's being interviewed by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, CBC, to its friends.
Mm.
And, they asked him if Democrats would get rid of Trump's tariffs if they retook the White House. And he said, well, I can't guarantee that, but I can guarantee you'll be treated with respect. Just such a loathsome, cowardly response.
Well, and it's probably true. Joe Biden did not remove all of the Trump tariffs from Trump 1.
Yeah, that was actually, if you remember the
tremendous continuity,
disastrous 2024 debate between them. Joe Biden tries to hit him on this. He's like, oh, he's, you know, raised tariffs and made your cost of living more expensive. And Trump's like, you didn't get rid of those tariffs. Yeah.
And then Biden said absolute nonsense after that for an hour.
Yeah, and then his brain leaked out of his ears.
Yeah.
Look, things are, I'm not a fan of this administration, this current administration.
Trump.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to hit us with that Trump derangement syndrome?
No, I'm going to bring it back around to...
Don't make me give you the vaccine.
No.
And then who knows what'll happen to you.
Yeah, right. No, my heart's big enough already.
Oh.
We shouldn't joke about the vaccine given some of the untimely celebrity deaths, but...
Yeah. I thought you were going to say because of the measles cases, which seemed kind of bad. Right. But are not at all... So RFK Jr. is getting yelled at this by Josh Shapiro.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, whatever. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has said a lot of things about vaccines over the years. Some of it, I think, certainly not true. In recent times, he said, take the measles vaccine. Mm. He's written, take the measles vaccine. The people not taking the measles vaccine right now in Pennsylvania, they're not taking it because they saw RFK Jr. on a Joe Rogan podcast.
That's the Amish.
They're not taking it because they're Amish.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I guarantee you they didn't learn about this recently on a podcast.
Right.
So that seems not a fair target.
Right. Yeah. So we can get into that more. But
yes.
Real quick on the tariffs.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just like, for all our complaints, many legitimate complaints about the current Trump administration,
mm-hmm.
it's just like, it's a little bit of recency bias. You forget Democrats are going to come in after, you know, complaining about how tariffs are raising the cost of living, and they're just going to keep them in place.
Yeah.
You know?
What they're going to do is going to be catastrophic.
Yeah. What do you think is the worst thing?
Like, economically. They're just ruining the economy. Shut down all technological innovation, all production, all building of everything. Actually, I saw a funny tweet from one of those kind of abundance guys. He has a podcast, Armand Domaluski. He's got some good tweets. Pointing out that, like, I mean, red states are the ones that actually just allow you to do things.
Right.
Despite, like, he has a tweet.
Oh, yeah,
he's talking in Texas's voice. You want to build some clean energy, son? Sounds like gay communism to me. Anyway, here's your permit.
Right.
In the blue state, they're like, oh my God, yes, queen, clean energy. But your 3,000-page report on harms to non-binary snail communities wasn't sufficient for the HOA. See you in court for 30 years. Slay.
All right, please don't do that again.
But just stole that tweet from him. But that was my performance.
That was your, that's your non-podcasting voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny too because we're in the middle of like a moral panic about data centers. Very stupid panic, as we've discussed.
Almost as stupid as the moral panic over Meta, which we'll get to
in
a minute.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, I guess
the data center
related,
one is stupid.
The data center
I guess
one,
it's more stupid.
Yeah, I would say I would describe it as more stupid. Okay, well, let me make my point. Then we can rank the moral.
We'll
panics.
Argue about who's stupider.
Yeah. Okay. So this is now becoming a bipartisan moral panic.
Yeah.
Both Greg Abbott and Josh Shapiro, build the data centers. Yes, this is great for the economy type guys, have both come out with executive orders pointing to restrict data center development. Greg Abbott's basically does nothing. Basically there's like the same review process for the state utility regulator, and it just moves up, like, it has them ask the data center developers a few more questions, moves that up earlier in the process. And it's part of like, you know, you only have so much grid capacity. So it's like trying to determine, you know, which of these projects are like actually ready to move forward, which ones are more speculative, whatever. But it's framed as, you know, oh, people are concerned about data centers. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, restricting the impacts, whatever. Whereas Josh Shapiro just like completely removed data centers from, you know, like a fast track permitting system that he created. You know, if you want to build a steel mill or whatever, that's all good. That's all well and good. Right. You know, you can still get your permits fast-tracked. But
as if,
as
if the people mad about building a data center in their community wouldn't be mad if you built a steel mill, right? It's just totally ridiculous.
Right.
It's people who show up to city council meetings with signs saying, save that crack in the sidewalk.
Right, yeah.
Are, like, fundamentally not reasonable people.
Save
and they
the
should
historic
be,
parking lot, like, yeah.
We're not dealing with... We're just going to ignore you.
Right.
And so that's to Greg Abbott and the Red State's credit. They'll pretend they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
We going to make sure that... data center is just another word for gay, but they're going to permit it.
Oh, yeah.
Where
oh, yeah.
In blue states, they're going to be like, oh, we just want to make sure everybody shares in the equality of the new technological development. And they're actually going to be legalizing hunting tech CEOs for sport.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Right. Yeah. The blue states are a little more polished when it comes to talking about some of this growth, but
yeah.
Their policies are much worse. Whereas the red states
yeah.
will make some culture war fuss about
yeah.
it, but will go ahead and stamp your approvals. Right.
Yeah.
To the degree you need approvals in any of these places to begin
if
with.
If only there was a state you could go where they just let you build things, and also had social and cultural views that were just normal and open-minded
sure,
and
yeah.
just leave other people alone. But
that's all we want. Yeah,
can't have that.
Can't win them all. Can't
yeah.
win them all.
I mean, yeah, there was some polling on data centers that was really bad, but I guess just based on not accurate ideas about how much water they consume. And...
Yeah, it's yeah. So this is something that's been really borne out in the polling. Well, it's been interesting to watch the polling because, yeah, I wrote the cover story for Reason a couple months ago about data centers.
Yeah.
And when
still
I...
coasting on that, huh?
Yeah, that's all I got these days. But
some people have to, you know, work every day.
Yeah.
But you wrote one thing once, and now, oh.
It's actually, I shouldn't brag about it because I've been, like, looking at the polling lines of, like, you know, data center support. And it's like...
They track you writing
yeah,
that
yeah,
article?
Yeah, yeah, Even Christian Publishers feature.
Yeah.
Yeah, so not the kind of impact we want.
No.
Yeah, when I wrote that feature, it was basically... evenly divided between people who like data centers and didn't like them, but like most people expressed no preference or a weak preference. It was just like the example of a low salience issue. Just no one cared, right? And now everyone cares and they don't like them. So I don't know what you do with that, but yeah,
we blame you. That's what we do with it.
Yeah, and I mean, I do think like a generalized like tech anxiety is part of it. It's hard to separate why people who just say no to things want to say no to them. But yeah, all the polling is like, well, why don't you like them? They say it's the water and the electricity.
I think people
effects.
Just don't. They're concerned that the resources are going to get gobbled up. They don't like construction. I think it's not fundamentally more complicated than that.
It doesn't take a lot. It certainly doesn't take a Chinese PSYOP or whatever the neocons are saying now to like convince people that data centers are
I mean, unsightly. I give the Chinese PSYOP idea a little bit more credibility than you do. Like, I don't think it's specifically... It seems to me that some of those activists who show up are plausibly
like
the Singham...
Yeah,
people.
The Party of Socialism and Liberation.
They actually have, like, gone door to door, you know, passed out fly. It just takes a handful of people to show up to the community meeting to spook the city council into being very paranoid about it.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah.
So I think there is plausibly some direct damage that a small number of activists directed by Chinese communist affiliated folks have done some, have scored some unfortunate wins. That's all I'll say on that.
Yeah, we'll see how far this goes because, I mean, the fact of the matter is these things are like massive fiscal boons to states.
God, don't you just love our president, Donald Trump,
DJT,
just will not read the room on these things.
Yeah.
And just, every time he's asked, he's like, oh, well, if I was the mayor, I would definitely want to have it. They're great. And somebody's like, well, people just don't like that they're ugly. He's like, I don't think they're ugly. I think they're the most impressive built. They're so impressive. They're huge. They're creating power. They're lowering your property tax. Just like a totally 100% correct and not reading the polling or looking or paying any attention to the controversies. He's just like, it's a really cool build. And he, you know, he's a at heart a real estate developer.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
He, of course he thinks a cool building that creates a lot of economic value for its owners and others is a great idea.
Right.
It's just, it's kind of beautiful. It's beautiful when you hear him say something that's totally correct. Right, that other people would be afraid almost to say,
right,
because they're more sensitive to public opinion. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, no, we should have them. Yeah. That is not characteristic of everything he says, to be clear, but when he's right, he's right.
Right, yeah. I mean, he has the same attitude when it comes to the tariffs. He just has the bad opinion on the tariffs, right?
Right, yeah.
But yeah, because they're such fiscal boons, you have to imagine there's going to, like, federalism might actually work here a little bit, yeah, where it's like some localities are going to crack down on them and the other ones are going to be like, okay, I guess I'll just sit here counting my money from the data center.
One of those Federalist guys, the Federalist, interesting place, yeah, the publication, I mean.
I read the papers.
John Daniel Davison, I think that's his name, something like that. Yeah. He had a tweet the other day, which he later conceded was a little flippant, a little glib. About
rare
how
mission.
Yeah, bringing a data center to your community to revitalize it is like bringing in Indian casinos or whatever, like,
yeah, totally.
As if that's a bad thing,
yeah.
A. But B, like, okay, man, what's your plan then to revitalize the community? Right. Like, what?
Oh, we're going to build a steel mill that everyone will like instead.
Right, exactly. No one will let us build anything if you can't build this.
Right. Yeah, it's like literally the, in terms of like industrial uses, it's like the lowest impact industrial use you could imagine. It consumes water and electricity and produces heat.
Right. And that con say they want to do, the National Conservative Movement is all about doing industrial policy in the U.S., building everything here instead, which I'm not even against. We can build things here if it's, you have to make it cheap enough and cost effective for the people to do that, which we'll never do in 1,000 years for a million different reasons, for environmental reasons, labor reasons, and then because you'll have the same people saying, save our parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. They won't let you do that either. If they're not going to let the steel mill is creating some smog or something.
Yeah, there's some emissions.
There's some stuff going on there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's just
limiting.
I don't, like, what do you want then? Like,
yeah, you see this in sometimes, like, in critical write-ups of data centers. They're like, oh, the data center is going to consume as much power as 20,000 homes, or, you know, as much water as, you know, 50,000 homes or whatever. It's like, well, your house doesn't really consume that much, like, water and power, right? Because you just use it to sleep.
Right.
If you compare them to, like, oh, it uses the same amount of power as half a steel mill. Yeah, maybe that would put things in a little more perspective. Okay. Yeah.
So, 50,000, let's build 50,000 new homes then. Let's do that.
Oh,
that would also consume
as
much energy as 50,000 homes.
You got that parking lot you got to think of, yeah.
It's just like, okay, do something with this space.
Yeah.
This is a giant country with tons of open space. Mm-hmm. Develop on it. Mm-hmm. It's just it's a not used resource right now.
Yeah.
And we don't have to bulldoze every park or every green space or, like, destroy the beautiful Rocky Mountains or the Grand Canyon or whatever those environmental groups think we're going to do. It's a parking lot.
Right.
I have parking lot on my mind because there was that viral image going around of this elderly couple, the final bosses of the abundance movement, at the community meeting with their sign saying, save the whatever street parking lot.
Spruce Street, yeah.
It's a parking lot.
Yeah.
We'll never do anything.
Yeah.
We'll never fix anything.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been some historic preservation statutes. They, like, include the parking lot in the, like, historic building.
Right. You wrote about that diner, which was a radicalizing.
Oh, yeah. That the was Tom's a great... Diner from Denver, Colorado.
This guy's just trying to sell his diner. He wants to be done. He wants to retire. He's going to sell the space and retire on that money.
And a developer was going to buy it and build apartment buildings. And the activists, they wanted to landmark the diner because it had it's called, like, Googie style, which is funny because it's, like, futuristic style, you know? But, yeah, of course, you can't build anything new. And so, yeah, they were trying to landmark it so that basically 40% of his land couldn't be built on. So then you would have had to build on the parking lot, but, yeah.
These people can't be – they're just, like, they're an evil, malignant force. It's just Sauron. It can't be reasoned with, can't be negotiated with. It just must be fought and destroyed.
Yeah.
And, like, there's no coming to a compromise with these people. They just don't – they're going to use their small veto power to thwart any and all change.
Yeah, it's a tricky policy question because, you know, when it comes to, like, you know, the housing stuff, which I write a lot about, you know, the general trend in policy has been to evolve these issues to the state level, limit what local governments at the behest of, you know, the Save the Parking Lot crowd can say no to. And that seems to work because everyone on some level has to say, like, well, yeah, housing is good, but, right? Mm-hmm. Well, so if you just move it up to the level where people say housing is good and don't say the but, mm-hmm. then you can get more stuff built, mm-hmm. right? But when you have a panic about data centers specifically, mm-hmm. there's not really a next level of government to appeal to, right? Because the states are cracking down on this stuff too. And given some of the, you know, they do consume huge amounts of power, like you have state level utility regulations and stuff, it gets a little more complicated. And so I don't really know what I think, like, it's literally just like federalism and some municipalities saying, I want the money, and others saying, you know, we're willing to pass on it, is how are you going to fix this? But we'll see. I don't know. Maybe people get concerned about something else here in 5 seconds, and then we'll be able to build the data centers again.
It's almost like the more divorced from the democratic process, the greater likelihood of doing the correct policy.
Yeah.
it's not terrific.
Yeah. There was we had a big movement in this country about 50 years ago where it was like, okay, big government is building a bunch of freeways through our cities and mm-hmm. polluting the rivers and the lakes. That's bad. So what we need to do is just make every sort of development decision participatory, right? If we give the people the decision at the local town council to say,
we give it back to you, the people. Gotham is yours.
The apartment rises, brother. Of course it doesn't. And so now we're dealing with that where it's like, veto points, right? Yeah, the local council, you know, has a veto point, and the process is participatory. So, you know, there's some bureaucrats who look at the law and say, okay, we think this should be allowed. And then the people show up and say, no, we don't like it. And then the city council, which, you know, elected body, listens to the people, votes it down. And again, it's like the housing stuff it makes me pessimistic about the data center development because, you know, with housing, you have had, you know, because everyone lives in a house, you have people who will go to the city council, and, you know, to try to counter the Save the Parking Lot and say, no, we want the housing, right? So, like, now there's a little bit of democratic mm-hmm. contest. But with data centers, it's like, who's going to get out of bed for that, right? Yeah.
Right.
Not me.
Yeah, just the small number of us weirdos who are having, like, a pro-data center party. That's just... libertarian adjacent DC nerd bubble people.
Has that happened yet? Are you going to that?
I'm involved.
Great.
It's going to happen.
You know.
Well, you know us. We just, any themed party, any excuse to dress up, or I think I'll go as a sexy data center.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
If I'm recovered by then, did you see what happened to me? I know our viewers have been wondering. They're seeing my bandages. Maybe they've heard me reference it on other programs.
If you're listening to this and not watching it, Robbie from the forearms down looks like a mummy. So.
Yeah. You know, you don't realize how much you use your hands for until you mm-hmm. have them severed.
Yeah, so what happened, though?
Well, I took a little tumble on the scooter. This happens to me about once every 3 years. I get knocked down, but I get up again. Ain't never going to keep me down. This one was not as bad as my last. I mean, I've never really broken anything, but last time I did, I kind of hurt my arm. I, like, pulled something. Mm. Didn't break anything. I'm very sore from the fall, but I'm okay. The bad thing, I went over the, I just hit like a rock or something on the ground. This was, by the way, in broad daylight. I was not scooting home from the bar at 3 a.m. high off my ass on ketamine. I would never do that.
Yeah.
Broad daylight. I was in a suit. I was in a nice and expensive pair of pants that are now ruined. That's the real casualty. No, my hands are the real casualty. So I go over to the front, you know, put out my hands, hit the concrete, slide. So I scraped up my hands.
Yikes.
Real bad. It hurt.
Yeah.
Bloody. It hurt.
Yeah.
Anything. I mean, I'm married to a medical professional.
Oh, that's good. That's helpful.
You put some ointment on it. You put some bandages on it. What are they going to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
So you're going to get some driving gloves, you know? You got to suit up.
I actually might do that. I've always been resistant to add a helmet because I would look like a huge dork mm-hmm. and I care about what my hair looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But I would definitely go for some riding gloves. That would have saved me a world of hurt.
Yeah.
I think it would look ridiculous to just be wearing riding gloves and, like, Like a tank top and shorts, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's summer, but...
Yeah, well, maybe you could have, like, a scooting jacket, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, back when driving was a rich man's hobbyist endeavor, right?
Maybe, like, a scarf, like an aviator-type thing, goggles.
Scarf, smoking jacket, driving gloves, yeah, some goggles, yeah.
Like, Sid Highwind from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, Howard Hughes.
Yeah. Howard Hughes, yes.
Yeah.
He went crazy, right?
He did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that movie. I don't know a lot about him.
The Aviator, I've seen
some
scenes.
Seems like it'd be a good one. Yeah. So I'm hurt. I'm hurting. And also, the funny thing about this was that I had recently agreed to a request of my better half to do a sport together. Hmm. He's done a lot of my stupid activities. Mm-hmm. I felt like I couldn't say no, even though I'm not very – he wanted to do volleyball.
Oh, well, now you can't. Yeah.
Is one of I'm pretty bad at volleyball. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a reasonably athletic-ish person. I like racket sports. Mm-hmm. I could probably kick a ball around. It'd been a while since I played volleyball, and I was real bad.
Yeah,
real bad. What we happened? Did like tryouts or something. Yeah.
You didn't get on the team.
Not good. No, we're on a team. But first thing happens, I hit the concrete. I'm like, oh no, I can't play volleyball this week.
Nice. Yeah. So was this maybe a deliberate?
Next week, I don't know what I'll have to do. I'll have to
we're
going to
take off the bandages
car.
And you're not hurt at all. It's all fucking bullshit.
Oh.
Wow.
Now, if I was a podcaster who really wanted to capitalize on this, I'd be like, Israel strikes again.
Yep, they gotcha. At a minimum, we'd have money for the roads, but we keep sending it over there.
Yeah. And you know, I'm just asking questions here. Like, you're coming at me, and then, like, you think I'm not allowed to question, like, who might have contributed to me falling off the scooter? Like, I don't know. This is very close-minded. I mean, from someone who I thought would question mainstream media narratives.
You think a journalist would be interested in why I fell off the scooter, but...
Tough stuff.
Well, we all wish you a fast healing process.
Thank you. How long does it take? Like, it's been a while since I skinned something.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're a kid,
you put a
bandage on, you take it off the next day, you're perfectly fine. Yeah. You know, you can end up, like, you know, twisted in some awful, like, helicopter crash or something. You know, lose multiple limbs and you're fine the next day as a kid.
All grows back, yeah.
Fall off the monkey bars, fine. Now it's, like, this could be with me for a while. At my age, you can only have... something like this happened so many more times. So
you're just done.
I'm going to be careful again.
Yeah. Yeah. I burned my finger while cooking. And so, you know, I just have this like lesion, you know.
Oh,
so
yeah. That's festering.
Yeah. Well, it developed probably... a healthy. It's fine.
Yeah. We should cut it off here.
Oh, no. Here. No.
Yeah.
I'll give
you a hook hand.
A hook hand.
Yeah.
Type one letter at a time. Yeah. Like Buster Bluth. No, I developed a healthy blister, but I accidentally popped the blister, and so you're not supposed to do that. You just gotta, the blister is, you know, nature's band-aid.
The scab, that's what you want. Yeah, I had to go out and find bandages that were large enough to, like, get over the whole wound, and I gotta wrap it, and it just, things don't stay on.
Are you able to, can you, like, work out at all with your hands like that?
No, I passed on the gym. This morning. Yeah, I think I should be good.
You look terrible, yeah.
I know, and I'm going to Provincetown. It's swimsuit season.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Just happened at the worst time.
Yeah.
But such is life. Such is life. And why Israel did it when I was just asking questions, we'll never know.
They just, at a certain point, just mean-spiritedness.
It's mean-spirited. You know? It's belligerent.
Yeah.
Speaking of mean-spirited, I do want to talk about this Meta lawsuit.
It's not
a really good transition at all. But so they settled for $17 billion. Mm-hmm. This is a collection of the states have, every state has sued them in some capacity, some as groups of states, some on their own.
Yeah, they're facing like thousands of lawsuits.
Yeah. So they caved, basically.
Yep, they settled. Yeah, the lawsuits, they were alleging...
harms to children.
And basically, and also that, like, under state consumer protection statutes, that Meta hadn't disclosed the recognizable harms of social media, and so therefore they have to pay out the nose.
But Elizabeth Nolan Brown had a great line about this in her coverage of Reason, saying that, basically they got him for deception about the harms. Yeah. But she was saying, like, But it would also be deceptive to say that there are harms because it's not demonstrated that there is.
Right.
We're getting into a very, very, very vague conception of what harm is, is what I want to emphasize. A tangible harm would be, would be like a sex predator reaching out on the platform to a child, which is part of it. But of course, that is a harm that the platform does address and is addressing every day by collaborating, cooperating with law enforcement. Like, people don't understand this. Meta works with law enforcement. They refer tons and tons of accounts to police every year. They do, like, if they see criminal activity, they're already required under existing law, and they do this. So, to me, that's not really an argument against the product if a small subset of users are using it in an illegal way and the platform is taking action to police that and prohibits it for that use is not – that is harm. I recognize that that is actually a harm, but it is one that's already being addressed because that's not really what this is about. What this is really about is the idea that it is addictive and – people are, and the children are scrolling, and it's harming them.
The alleged harms are like just kind of core features of the platform. So like endless scroll and the ability to see likes and like beauty feature, beauty filters or whatever.
How do
we
quantify that is a harm?
People allege that they feel bad about it.
Right. I know. That's brought this up on Rising. It just compared to other things, like people watching our show could feel distressed because of the state of the world. You could talk about the horrible footage of the mudslide in Nepal. This is awful. I think we've all been gripped by it. It's so terrifying. It's people dead for certain, missing. You almost like can't look away from it. It's such a like nature striking back. It's just really gripping, awful, horrible footage.
Yeah,
it makes you feel like psychological distress.
Yeah.
Is the platform participating in harming you by making it possible for you to learn more about something happening in the world?
Because it's like a flood of information.
Oh, there you go.
But this
starts to get into a very pseudoscientific understanding of what it means to harm another person?
Yeah, of course.
I have a product that could cause you distress, maybe.
Right.
Possibly?
Right. Yeah, and it's not even
momentarily?
It's not even the product itself is harmful to you in any sort of real measurable sense. It's that, your individual perception or use of the product might cause you some sort of psychic distress.
Right.
To draw a parallel, because a lot of this stuff is modeled on like the master settlement with cigarettes, right? Whatever you want to say about those lawsuits and the ways in which they downplay people's own, individual responsibility when it comes to smoking and the, widespread knowledge of the harms that cigarettes, caused at the time. A cigarette, harms you, right? It's unhealthy. It does some physical damage to you.
Whereas it increases prolonged, frequent, constant usage significantly increases your risk of cancer.
Yeah, like actual measurable, diagnosable
significant
diseases, right?
Yes.
Whereas this is just, again, it's like mental distress of one form or another.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think Elizabeth Nolan Brown in her newsletter written before the settlement came down was like pretty blunt about this, which is like this is just alleging a harm to speech.
Yeah.
Right? And normally we have constitutional protections for speech. Right.
Right.
Eugene Volokh, which Elizabeth Nolan Brown cited in her newsletter. He compared the arguments against Meta to arguments you could make against religion, right? It's like, okay, you could say this causes some people distress because they feel guilty about their sins or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Or just consuming any information about the broader world can cause you distress.
Right.
This same rationale. We would obviously reject the government saying, the Supreme Court has already rejected the government saying, we think these books that kids might be reading in these libraries could be harmful to them. We just want to limit how much their reading time because they're just reading them too much. And what if it's making them feel bad? And we don't want to have that.
Yeah.
Like that would runs directly afoul of the Constitution, of the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. How is this different?
Right.
They're not at all demonstrating to me that it's significantly different.
Again, the argument is because the company itself puts all this effort into making the product attract, which it does, obviously.
Sure.
It wants you to spend more time on it because then it can sell
ad
dollars.
The book publisher is trying to make it more likely you'll read. I mean, we do this on with YouTube, with a primary means of distribution for our content here and in my other places of employment. We tinker with the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
We tinker with the image on that. We do all sorts of little tricks and gimmicks that we've learned in order to make it more likely you'll click it and you'll keep watching it.
Yeah.
So we're all engaged in this. Like, it would be weird to be selling something or offering something and not doing everything in your power to want people to engage with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that, I mean, this is very similar to the hidden persuaders argument back in the day of against advertising, the ridiculous notion there's all the subliminal advertising and you're doing mind control.
Yeah.
Again, pseudoscience, not the case. Yes, it's addictive in the sense that anything some people like, they're going to want to keep doing. I find myself doom scrolling Instagram periodically, but, you know, what else was I could also just be staring at a wall bored.
Yeah. Well, now we're going to, make the company pay out the nose and that'll solve the problem. So
yeah. And they are trying to – they're getting ahead of this, right?
They're pulling a Don Draper. Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And they're calling on – they're saying, here's what we're going to do to limit the addictiveness to children. And we're calling on YouTube to do the same exact thing.
We're going
to
be the first rat off this ship. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no honor among thieves these days.
I know. Mm-hmm. It's just, and it's like, it's a way to fill your attention. Like, what do people imagine you're doing if you're not having your attention filled this way? This gets into, I was maybe going to bring this up. I'm writing about this for my newsletter today. Maybe I'll do a whole monologue on it. Did you see that, graph of, it's based on a new study from the Institute for Family Studies about, that's the young men are so troubled because they're watching too much porn and doing too much gambling and playing too many video games.
Mm-hmm.
And 98% of young men are doing – do all three. There's only 2% who aren't doing any of those things. First of all, those are not related. Like, video games should not be in the same category as porn and gambling because actually the way a lot of young men play video games is very pro-social.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing it with a headset. They're talking to other people. They're doing team building type things. If you're on a team with people, it's like playing sports or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not getting exercise, but you're getting mental exercise. Some video games come with a text worth of a novel's worth of text, rather. It's like you're reading too.
Yeah.
So this is just not pathologically harmful at all. It's good in some cases. I mean, anything done in excess is bad.
Yeah.
If every waking moment you spend playing video games or furiously masturbating to porn or gambling away your parents' life savings, then yes, you have a problem.
Yeah.
But you could also just be lazy and not working and have a problem.
Yeah.
And just be not doing anything. You could just be watching TV all day.
Yeah, sure.
How is that any different?
Yeah, watching All My Children or whatever. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, look. I'm very critical of the legal theories of this lawsuit.
Yeah.
I don't really, as someone who consumes too much social media, I get the complaint about it, right? It's this is a waste of time. 100%. Totally buy that. But just the world is always going to be full of distraction, right? And ways to waste your time. And the response to that should be trying to cultivate a little inner strength and discipline.
Right.
And it's not it's not like they've cracked some secret key to, control your mind. It's you can put down the phone. You can turn off the television.
Right.
There's more productive ways to spend your time, but you as an individual have to elect to do that. You shouldn't – the problem with this lawsuit and, different policy responses is in some degree you're kind of counting on the company, making this product that you're spending all your time on to save you from yourself. That's a bad idea, right? Come on. Take a – if you want – young men to be men, take a little responsibility for yourself, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Men should be men.
Men should be men.
Men stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they could be just bouncing a ball against a wall.
Yeah.
I mean, because.
The Great Escape, yeah. Yeah, if only he had. Yeah. When he's in the cooler, he's scrolling Instagram instead.
I mean, my point is, it's just everybody's going to spend some amount of time during the day distracted by pointless bullshit.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. If you are constantly distracted by pointless bullshit and you're not accomplishing anything, that is a problem. I'm not sure that this technology is making that so much worse for so many more people.
Yeah. I mean,
to outweigh the harm, or to outweigh the benefit, rather, because it's also giving you productive ways to spend your time.
Sure, totally.
That are, you know, if you're sitting in, it used to be really boring to just sit in the back seat of the car during a long car ride, or just on the metro or the train or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now you can listen to a podcast or watch a video or something. Like, right. It's made dead air time, or like a plane flight or something. It's made dead air time less boring. Like, that's, I consider that to be a massive lifestyle upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's interesting. So it's like, if you assume that like capitalism continually gets better at like satisfying people's preferences and through, you know, technological innovation, you would assume that these platforms are better at capturing people's attention than TV of old or whatever else, right? So like, I can see the argument that it's like they're getting better at consuming more of our attention and, you know, in good ways and bad, right? But again, if you consider it a bad thing, I don't see the policy response here. It just has to be an individual response, right?
Right.
Yeah. So,
I mean, compared just to TV itself, we had the TV on in our household a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
It's a lot of reruns of things I'd seen a million times that were of low quality, that were not particularly compelling. I mean, there's some good sitcoms out there, but also just a lot of like kind of bland crap.
Yeah, sure. Network that
was,
television.
That
sure.
Right, that was short because there's a lot of commercial breaks in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. At its worst, we're just mimicking that.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of better and more interesting and more creative stuff that I stumble across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, totally.
I don't have to see a Full House is my quintessential just total waste of time slop show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not funny. It's not, it's just like lame. It's so lame. No disrespect to any Full House lovers out there, but it's just not, it is low quality slop.
Yeah.
It was that kind of thing that was on constantly.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
Brady Bunch or whatever.
Yeah.
Bunch movies that make fun of the Brady Bunch are great.
Better.
Those are terrific, but they're like making fun of how bland and bad it was.
Right. You think about like, you know, you're able to have more niche, you know, again, talk about like technology enables you to satisfy your preferences in new and interesting ways, better. Like if you were into music back in the day, you were stuck either like with the records you could buy at the record store, or maybe they would play the song you liked on the radio once a day or something like that, right? Now you can get into really niche, ridiculous subgenres that you have no business knowing about whatsoever. Because you can have very particular music tastes, and you have access to all the music that's ever been recorded. That's great, you know?
I remember getting my friend who knew how to, you know, burn onto discs, make discs of, you know, pirate music in order to have, and then when the disc starts skipping because you've listened to it too much, that's it.
Yeah.
I remember creating extra save files in a video game I liked because I liked the cutscenes in it, so I would save in a different file I could see that cutscene whenever I wanted to.
Yeah.
Just look it up on YouTube now.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just found this new band called, which I should know nothing about these guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I should have never heard of them. They're called a Bogside Sniper Squadron, and it's like IRA death metal. All their songs are about, like, the martyrs of the, you know, fighting British imperialism and how Jerry Adams sold them out and everything.
Oh.
And it's fucking incredible.
It's great.
They have, like, one EP that's, like, 25 minutes long, and I've listened to it, like, 100 times at this point. It's so good. But I shouldn't know anything about this, you know? Some, you know, rear guard IRA guys who started a death metal band. Like, come on, I shouldn't know anything about this, but I do. So thank you, internet. Yeah. And I consider that time well spent, you know? My screen time has gone up a lot because it's only on YouTube, and I don't have YouTube Premium, so I got to keep the phone playing, you know? So when I get the little nanny state thing on my iPhone telling me how much time I've spent each day, you know, on screen time, it's because of Bogside Sniper Squadron. But that was time well spent.
Yeah.
Recommend it to everyone out there.
Another issue with this study I had, again, just quickly to pick up on the video games thread, it was like quantifying whether you're playing too many video games based on how your frequency of how many times you play video games the day or the week. But it's not really a good metric for video games. It should be like hours played per day. Because I mean, I several times during the day stop to play Dominion online as games that last like 5, 10, 15 minutes. I do that several times a day. So I get, I'm in like the highest category of video game broadly defined use, but I'm like clearly not addicted to video games, or or if I am, it is not harming me in any. I'm a very productive person. I've got a lot professionally I'm doing, so I'm just not
like what?
whereas if you play a video game continuously for 10 hours every day, that would be, I guess, quantified as less, but that would be too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're not harming yourself playing video games, but then you step outside and look at your hands.
Yeah, I go in the real world. They said, touch grass, and I wish there was some grass to touch, because, man.
Terrible.
Man.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This is one of the many issues we're losing, though, right? Everyone's like, oh, we got to treat social media like cigarettes. And,
right. It just sounds to people like, of course, it's bad. Is complaints against capitalism really just complaints about the human condition? Life does not automatically give you meaning. You have to figure it out for yourself, man. And people have done, and we just romanticize the past. It sounds not, and again, I'm not saying that every single thing they say about the technology is wrong or bad. I too get frustrated with some of my friends. You're talking to people and they just can't, they got to look at their phone the whole time. I'm like, put the phone down. Ban those at social engagement. You know, we're going to play a board game or something, put your phones away.
Yeah.
No phones at the dinner table. I want to have a conversation. I want to have dialogue. No phones if we're watching something, if we're watching a movie or a TV show. So it is good advice to just put them down more, but that still feels within the realm of human possibility that we can do that without the government. And and if it's true that we can't, so we need the government to, that's also just not going to work.
Yeah.
Right? If we are so addicted, then we're just going to do it despite the ham-fisted, arguably unconstitutional efforts the government is going to undertake to make it slightly more difficult for, I guess, young people to do this.
Yeah.
It's just lame.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all these unintended consequences too, right? Like, you know, one of the OG social media panics was that, oh, everyone's reading too much news and getting polarized and angry, right? So then they shut off the news, they shut off all the clicks, and now everyone's watching fucking short-form videos, right?
Yeah, good job, everybody.
Yeah, great.
Thanks for that. Yeah, Zuckerberg turned off news because you couldn't stop yelling at him.
Yeah.
Now this is what we get.
Now you're watching
short-form slop.
Yeah, Chinese PSYOP videos about how the data center is bad. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well done, everybody. I'd clap, but my hands hurt too much.
Got to do the ADA acceptable. You ever do that? You ever remember that?
I was clapping like at the volleyball. I went to cheer on my team. I did like this.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, that's the new, like...
What are we doing?
Yeah.
This is a gesture that actually does hurt my hand right now. What are we doing?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if you ever did, like, any student government or anything when you were in college.
God, no.
You know,
clapping... Well, I'm not that much of a sociopath.
Clapping is triggering for certain types of people, and so you have to snap instead to signal agreement, so...
It's triggering for the sound sensitive or for people who don't have fingers or...
Both, I would say. Yeah, you know, they're all people.
They should take their fingers out of their ears.
Oh.
Then they could hear.
There you go, yeah.
Free advice.
Yeah, well, only get it here.
We had some tragic deaths this week that I wanted to discuss, some significant people. I have much to say about Dolly Parton, who means a lot to a lot of people very clearly. It's not someone I know a lot about. I know who she is, obviously, and that people like her, and it's sad that she died, and she did a lot of special things.
Yeah.
I don't have any special personal connection to her, but
I don't
seems
either.
Like a good lady.
You know, I've seen 9 to 5. I've heard some of her songs, I'm sure. It's sad, you know. My one Dolly Parton story, really, that I have is there's an amusement park. She has Dolly World and Pigeon Forge. And during the pandemic.
In Tennessee?
Yeah. During the pandemic, me and some friends, we stayed at like an Airbnb down the road from Pigeon Forge. Or not in Pigeon Forge,
but
down
the
road
from
Dolly World. Yeah. You wouldn't have had a good time.
Yeah. But.
But, you know, it's the South, and, you know, I was big into running at the time, and because it's the South, you know, we're, like, in, like, a little subdivision off an arterial road, so, of course, there's no shoulders or sidewalks, but I found, like, a little service trail I could jog on, and that led me into the Dolly World parking lot, which was, of course, shut down, because it was, like, May 2020, and I would, so, like, for the first couple days there, I would just, like, run laps in the parking lot until the security saw me on the footage and kicked me out,
The Dolly World police state. Gotcha.
Yeah, but I'm not, you know, I'm not going to put that towards Dolly Parton. That seems unfair, particularly, you know, given that she just died.
Well, rest in peace.
Our condolences to her family.
Yeah.
And her millions and millions of fans. Yeah, that's what people were. I think that's people were sad in part because she was like one of these few public figures that everyone
polarized.
Knew and everyone loved.
Everybody
right?
loves her.
Yeah, it was both the DSA said she was a working class hero. Trump said she was great. Everyone in between. So
I mean, that is quite an accomplishment in this day and age to pull off.
There was a Vox article from, you know, back in the peak woke era about like how she's like, she's some form of white supremacist because she's not getting involved in politics, right? She's not.
Her silence
is violence.
Violence. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So I guess that hasn't aged too well. But
silence is what you should have when you're not trying to trigger the hearing people.
Right.
But
exactly.
Not what you should have in the face of white supremacy.
Ooh. Yeah. It's tough, right? But then you try to alert people to white supremacy and then you're, you know, addicting people to distressing content. Yeah. So what can be done?
What can be done? Nothing.
Another
person I did have a lot to say about, and perhaps you do as well, Tim Curry passed away. Mm-hmm. Tim Curry,
a delightfully
God rest
weird
his soul.
Individual.
Awesome, awesome person. He has done so much, so many movies, TV, voice actor roles, and he'd been in very bad health for the last couple of years. So I think this is not unexpected, and, you know, he's not been performing in a while, but he really made a positive impact on a lot of people. He's just created so much great stuff. And always, he seemed to always be having so much fun in all these roles.
Mm-hmm. He just revels in it, yeah.
There was no elitism about the roles he was willing to take on. He was willing to ham it up as cartoonish villains, voice villains of cartoons. Mm-hmm. He was willing to mix it up with the Muppets, right? And have a good time doing it. And he never phoned it in. I think the first role people know him for is in that Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I've only seen like clips of, but one of the clips of that one comes up a lot, which just he comes out of this elevator or something just totally ridiculously as a transvestite, a word you can't even say anymore.
Yeah.
Clown makeup, it just looks totally ridiculous.
Insane camp, yeah.
Having the time of his life. Mm-hmm. The role that I most admire him for is the movie Clue.
Yes, yeah.
Which is just, if you've never seen it, I hope there's no one watching this who has not seen the movie. Please watch it if you haven't seen it. Everyone is great in that movie, but he is what makes the movie work. His commitment to the Butler character, the physical comedy, the demands on him in this movie with a lot of comedic, Martin Mull, others doing great work. He is just 1,000% committed to the making this board game into a compelling movie, and his dialogue is hilarious. His movements are hilarious. The movie would not work without him, and he's so great in it.
Yeah, I saw a tweet saying that Tim Curry found dead at 80 in his bedroom with the candlestick.
He would love that joke.
He would love that.
That's a great role for him. He was in that, I remember liking this, and maybe it's not even a very good movie. I'm reading it right now, The Three Musketeers. That's what I just started. There was a Three Musketeers movie with like no French people, like Kiefer Sutherland and who else is it? Oh, the guy who went crazy. Is it Charlie Sheen?
Okay.
Yeah. They're playing, you know, French Musketeers. Mm-hmm. But he's Tim Curry's Cardinal Richelieu.
Oh,
and
nice.
He's just great. I remember him, one of them says to him like, "We would rather die." And he goes, "That could be arranged." Oh, so good.
Because I'm a teenage boy, we rewatched Charlie's Angels, the movie, and he's
I've
in
never
that.
Seen that one. Is he? He's in that.
Mm-hmm. Some of the charms might be lost on you, but it's excellent.
Cause gay?
No, what?
I pulled up his filmography because he's just been
he's
in
one of these guys
so
who has
much.
So many movies that he has a separate Wikipedia article for.
Right, I couldn't find him. Like, where is his filmography? It's on a different. Yeah, we went over the main ones. He did Muppet Treasure Island is one a lot of people like a lot. Where's it? He's a Russian something in like a video game.
Oh, Command and Conquer, right? Yeah,
and
he's the like Soviet.
What does he say? Like, I will go to the one place capitalism shall never reach me, the moon,
space. Yeah, it's funny too because he watched the clip and he's like so close, just busting out laughing too, right?
Because it's so fun.
Yeah,
we went over the main ones. He did a lot of voice acting on various things. He did just a great guy.
He's in, they made a couple live action renditions or adaptions of Terry Pratchett novels. He was in a couple of those. He's kind of like the evil scheming wizard. It's pretty good. Yeah.
He was the voice of Nigel Thornberry in the Wild Thornberries.
Okay. I didn't know that. Man, I haven't thought about that.
And the Rugrats movie. That was a pretty good one. I like that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a good era of Nickelodeon programming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's some interesting things around there.
You know, it'd be denounced as colonialist now, probably.
Oh, but, yeah. Right. Yeah. She talks to animals, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. There was that one, and yeah. It was a good era for animation. Anyway, good guy. Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
I'm also seeing that Peter Cullen died, who was the voice of Optimus Prime in the Transformers, which people are having some feelings about.
Yeah, I mean, those are pretty bad movies.
Well, I know, maybe in the show.
Oh, okay, sure.
I don't know.
People had also were pointing out that some like Bosnian war criminal died recently. So always comes in threes.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, R.I.P.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Good dude.
What else we got?
We're going through these pretty rapidly. Oh. Did you see the Washington Post has to rehire that Karen Atiyah woman?
Poor guys. Yeah.
This is insane to me. Unions, man.
Unions. Yeah. So what's the?
She tweeted like after Charlie Kirk died some
a fake quote from
some,
him.
Well,
right?
Yeah. Some pretty offensive, heinous stuff, and then she also tweeted a fake quote from it. She condensed a quote of his to make it sound like, I mean, she put it in quotes that he was basically saying black women are bad, something like that.
Yeah.
When what he was really doing, which you can still criticize, but he was critiquing affirmative action, saying that basically the specific black women in question, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Kamala Harris, whoever it was, were themselves saying this. So he was saying a quote that he was putting words in their mouth because they had like – these were people who had conceded that DEI or affirmative action or whatever had helped them. So he's like, well, it's as if they're saying black women wouldn't be good enough without this.
Yeah.
But she just said it. Charlie Kirk said black women wouldn't be – so it's a pretty profound misrepresentation of the spirit of what he was saying.
Journalistic malpractice, you might say.
Right, which seems like a perfectly good reason to fire her. And also if the guy who owns the newspaper –
Doesn't like what you say, then you should get fired. Yeah,
like that's just obvious to us,
right?
But they went to arbitration and she won.
Thanks, unions. Yeah,
yeah. Niall and I really had it out on this one.
Oh,
on
really?
Rising because he's in the union that runs our lives or whatever.
Right.
He's the same union.
Well, they've cartelized the whole industry, right? Mm. What is the
unions and journalism are the
stupidest. Could you fire her for having no market anymore, right? Like,
This
is – she's like a woke one leftover, holdover or whatever, right? Like all her commentary is like white supremacy is a national security issue or whatever else.
God.
And it's just like the most cringe and ridiculous takes. And she's an opinion editor. They've changed their opinion page. They don't want any of this nonsense anymore.
Right.
And so
– I mean, if she has a contract with the company that says – that stipulates the terms of her employment, and it says you can't fire me for an opinion, well, then I would agree with her. But this was not that. This was the union, the people who like to break your kneecaps if you don't want to sign up with them.
Yeah, no good, no good. But all right, well.
It was kind of funny, though. Yeah. I guess you just can't
I guess I'd find it more funny if this was like the old school Washington Post, where it's like they indulged this wokery for so long. But now that they're under new management, it's like, well, now
they're not even reaping what they sowed.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they're under the same management.
They're reaping what someone else sowed.
They did a different management direction.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's ridiculous. It's
crazy, man. This is a crazy industry.
It really is, yeah. I mean, what are we doing here? Nothing has any reach anymore. It's just, it's just like, just 1 minute long vertical videos. That's the one thing you got, right? That has reach anymore.
Our former colleague and dear friend Emma Camp had a really successful one this week about rent control.
Saying rent control is bad.
And explaining succinctly why it is bad. And it's a really well done video, and she's really good at those. And like a gazillion people saw it. She said she gained a ton of followers. Like she's very good at going viral for these things.
Yeah.
That's the winning format.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of what I'm saying, though. The Wall Street Journal has published countless articles about the problems of New York rent control, right?
Yeah.
No one reads that shit.
Let's talk about this. The AI article in the Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that? You missed this controversy? So they published...
Oh, yes. No. I did follow this.
Let's talk about this. They published, an article that was written by... That was quickly and swiftly, immediately called out for being AI. It is AI. Mm-hmm. The editorial page editor copped to and said, you know what? It's his opinion. It represents what he has to say, and his voice is worthwhile. So I don't really care.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? I have mixed feelings at best.
Yeah. This is probably the best circumstance in which you can make that argument, I would say, because it is a notable figure, billionaire investor, right? Talking about bond yields, and you know the Treasury Department is trying to buy back bonds to lower the interest rates. And his point was, well, it's the deficit you're running that's pushing up interest rates, so you have to address that if you want to address this in any sort of sustainable way, right? So notable public figure who also is not a writer primarily, right? Or even at all. And so he got Claude to write his opinion for him. I think this is the best case scenario for publishing AI written stuff, because if he had not used AI, he would have hired some person to ghostwrite his op-ed instead, right? And the point, like,
I've never
the
been
value,
a huge fan of that either.
No. But I'm saying, like, if that is accepted practice, this would seem more akin to that. And then secondly, the value isn't that he's necessarily written a compelling piece. It's that this is a person who's, you know, an expert in this particular area. We want to publish him expressing his opinion, right? And if he's not a writer, he's going to have someone else actually write the words for him. And so why not have AI instead of a ghostwriter? I get it, sort of. Yeah. You don't.
No, I totally get what you're saying. It just still rubs me the wrong way. I can't get past the, okay, if you can't write it in a way that is acceptable, then you should not be writing.
Yeah.
Then you should communicate your ideas in some other way, or not be the one communicating the ideas. Someone else can communicate your ideas. Someone else can write it and say, and put their name on it and say, according to famed investor, blah, 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 and just you can talk and they can use your quotes. Like, then that would be the right format for you. That the op-ed format, that the implicit premise of that is you're writing and it's you, what you're saying. I mean, look, I get that this gets violated all the time. You know, Senator whoever is going to write an op-ed for the New York Times. Of course he doesn't write it.
Yeah.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I just have never thought that's a good thing. And now we're going to make that a lot worse. It seems like it's going to make it just easier. Like people are going to be too lazy. Like even people who really could write it themselves are going to do this to save time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know. Well, then what's the point of an op-ed page, I guess?
Yeah, sure. So maybe it just degrades
I think it will degrade the whole thing. We'll just publish, here's 10 AI written, why are we doing it at all? If people really want to know what the AI says about something, they can AI it themselves.
Yeah.
I just don't, like, what's the point of the product then?
That, because he's giving his imprimatur, is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Onto these ideas that, I guess they're notionally his idea that he then got AI to dress up, and so there's some value in him putting his name on it beyond just like the words on the page, right? It's notable that he is putting he is saying this even if he didn't write the individual words. I understand your unease at it, and I do agree it will probably just kind of like crush the op-ed format.
Right.
Yeah, this is I'm a little downbeat about where journalism is going with all this, because you made a point on this podcast many moons ago where you were saying that we're already future-proofing ourselves against AI by doing stuff like this podcast. I think like vertical videos with actual people, like short form, like that's another example where it's like, you know, it's not necessarily any of the content per se or words right. being said in the video. It's just that like it's a fun character who's saying it. Or even with like reporting and writing, you know, read any Substack and, you know, before Matt Yglesias can finish telling you about, you know, start telling you about the debt, he has to talk about his vacation in Maine and, right. you know, how this sparked a thought or whatever.
Right.
I kind of hate this, right? Like the way that you have to hook people with your writing now isn't necessarily the strength of an idea. It's just that like you have to be a character in the story yourself.
Yeah.
And it's like, is this what journalism needs? Like another incentive to be self-referential and self-obsessed, you know?
Yeah.
That concerns me. Yeah, because then it's like, I feel like so much, I mean, obviously there's some value and, you know, Hunter S. Thompson is interesting to, you right. know, read his observations because Hunter S. Thompson is an interesting person doing interesting things, right? But not everyone is, and probably most people aren't. And what's valuable is the thing they're talking about, the new information or new take that they might have dredged up. And the only way to hook people's attention is if you also can succeed at being some sort of interesting character that people have some sort of parasocial relationship mm-hmm. with. That does, it doesn't seem like a great trajectory. You know, the ultimate example of this is Derek Thompson wrote, you know, from The Atlantic. He wrote, it was literally about AI and whether AI could replace journalism. His conclusion was, no, it can't, because, you know, by the act of me, a human, having to write a take, like, I have to sit there and think about it and sum up information and, you know, come up with some unique perspective, right? But in order to make this argument, he literally just wrote a column about him thinking about writing this column. It's like, this yeah. is just a snake eating its own
well,
tail.
The take-having aspect of journalism is obviously replaceable.
Yeah.
It's going to be harder to replace, like, you know, if you call up, you're writing an article about what the Treasury Department is planning to do with respect to Iran, you call up someone in the Treasury Department to get their take on it. Like, the AI isn't making phone calls, or not yet, not... You know, not making news, right? Not getting quotes. So the reporting aspect of journalism is still relatively
protected. Yes, well, I mean, so
protected.
That's there's still yeah. going to be a lot of value in dredging up original information and doing the actual
right.
reporting. But my point is, no one's going to see any of that shit,
yeah.
and there's not going to be. Also, you know, we're individuals building careers here. You know, you want some sort of status and notoriety, right? You're not going to get any status or notoriety doing that stuff, right? Instead, it's going to be writing the, you know, 10,000 word Substack article, summarizing some of this reporting with what you ate for breakfast, right? You know, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, then you get to a point of like, what even is news media? Like, what
Whoa.
Even, like.
Sorry,
we're just going. Cells? We're just,
yeah.
you know, the morning news. The people watch is just someone reading
yeah,
the news.
Yeah.
It's just reading today a car accident and here's the traffic. Like just reading things that happened.
Yeah.
And people want that, or they want that on because they don't want to do it themselves.
Yeah.
So I guess by the same token that people want, even though that person's value add is just they're attractive and can read something well.
Yeah.
Because they're not doing the original reporting there. They're just reading something to you.
Yeah.
But people still want that. So I guess people are still going to want someone to read the AI's take to them, basically.
Yeah.
And which is we're intermediators.
Yeah.
We're going to be intermediators between the AI and the public.
Yeah.
To some degree,
I guess,
right?
Yeah. No. So I understand what you're saying is like this was what a morning newscaster
yeah.
was fulfilling the same role, right?
Yeah. They want to know what the AI thinks because it has the expertise, but they want me to tell them what it says.
Right. Because, yeah, they find you compelling.
Yes.
For whatever reason. I guess what worries me is like there's kind of a collapsing division of labor here,
mm-hmm.
right? Where it's like you could watch the morning news broadcast, but then there was, you would also pick up the paper, which was, you know, more intermediate. It wasn't about the personalities per se giving you information, right? But now, you know, you're only going to pick up the paper if, again, it's the Substack article about what the writer ate for breakfast. And if you succeed, and the only people who are going to be really good at that and succeed at that is, like, people who are really talented at talking about themselves, which I think selects maybe for a certain type of personality that is
good,
not.
I'll have a bright future.
Right.
Yeah. We're saying some smart things on this podcast, actually. This is some real shit we're getting into now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the industry, man.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
That's the one thing we're qualified to talk about as journalists, is journalism.
Ourselves. Yeah. So, I don't know. I would never... Also, it just feels so shameless. But I would have never gotten a ghostwriter either. Like, I would never... Right. Publish something under my name that someone else wrote.
Yeah. Right.
Whether it's a person
it
or a machine.
Cheap. Yeah.
Right. It feels like cheating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like. I will never do that. Mm-hmm. I pledge that I will never, ever, 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 ever do that. I will use the AI for research. I ask it questions the same way you would Google things or ask Wikipedia questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even use. Some people use it for ideas or for inspiration. I haven't used it for that purpose yet. Like. What's a column that Robbie Suave would write today based on the news?
For that. Yeah, it's like
some people do use it for that.
I will come up with the idea, right? Yeah, I do use ChatGPT for research. Because Google has gotten so bad.
It's awful.
That ChatGPT is a more effective search.
Yeah.
And it's like having that kind of like interactive, you know, I write, you know, I ask a question, you produce information, I narrow it down. That's helpful. It is actually, I don't necessarily use it for ideas per se, but, every once in a while I'll be like, what was published in the Federal Register today? That'd be interesting to reason. And it'll show me some of the regulatory notices. I'm like, not doing a bad job here. But that's far removed from being like, what should I write about today? You know,
this morning we were going to talk about that measles outbreak on Rising. So I literally asked him like, so about that measles outbreak. That's the Amish, right? And it writes back, yes. With more specificity about, you know. I'm doing fact checks of myself.
Yeah.
But I know people are using it for much more elaborate things than that.
Yeah.
And I guess to write your whole column.
Yeah.
The New York, you know, some of these op-ed pages, including the New York Times, strip a lot of personality out of an op-ed when you send it in anyway.
They do.
I feel like that's going to be now a mistake to do that because... Yeah. What will prove that it's not an AI or what will distinguish it from an AI is a lot of individual flair and personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, information about yourself that the AI doesn't have.
Yeah.
I know you said you don't like that, but yeah, it's going to be more of that.
It depends. If someone is like an actual like interesting and compelling figure.
Yeah.
Hunter S. Thompson is like my go-to, but then it's more worth it, right?
See, I like Matt Iglesias' whole, I was sitting on a beach with my family and I realized that wokeness is dumb. Like, he has a bluntness to him that is part of his style that people like.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. It's funny. Yeah, I remember him writing something about, like, you know, when I was coming up in journalism, like, what I'm good at was writing the, like, 5,000-word meandering take. Was not what was you know in vogue, right? It was writing something short and concise, and now writing something short and concise is not in vogue, right?
Yeah.
It's the 5,000 word meandering take.
So, yeah.
Alas,
that's about all I have for today. What's going on with you, man? How's your life?
That's okay.
Yeah.
you know, well, summer's coming to an end, and so you know, it's a good summer. I thought good summer.
It's a great summer. I've had a lot to do lately. A lot of social engagements, lots of things going on. And we're cruising into fall, which is a high social activity time.
It's gala season number two.
Gala season. Yeah, a lot of galas, a lot of year-end events.
Mm-hmm.
Pack on the pounds with those banquet dinners and those free glasses of wine.
Get the little Napoleon belly. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Think about invading Russia
Just for fun.
Just for fun.
Well, we might, yeah.
I heard they keep saying, like, you know, we'll have no choice to be at war with Europe if they keep helping Ukraine not be conquered by us.
Okay, like, do it.
Yeah,
do
it. Well, what did you expect to happen?
Yeah. I did see there was some of the libs were freaking out because the CIA director was in Moscow.
Yeah.
And so we asked the Ukrainians to knock off the drone attacks while our, you know, yes. high-ranking representative was there.
Yes.
And people were flipping out because they're like, well, why didn't you tell the Russians to not bomb Kiev when he went
there?
Oh, my
God, that's
so
stupid.
Well, because the Ukrainians are on our side.
Right.
And so they'll listen to us.
Right.
The Russians are not. They're hostile, right. Yeah, as you concede. And so, of course, they're not going to listen to that.
That's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
That's pretty dumb.
There's only so much you can do with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But...
No, we people got to talk to each other.
Yeah.
In different governments.
Would you rather the Ukrainians blew up the CIA director?
You know, yeah. So stupid.
Maybe we would as libertarians.
That's stupid. Yeah, it's been a good summer. Yeah. I'm a huge summer fan. I'll miss it. I'm not ready for it to be done.
No.
I feel like I need two more solid weeks of like enjoying my pool, enjoying the heat, having like drinks outside.
Is your pool open year round?
No, they shut it down eventually.
Yeah,
we got hot tubs on the roof that are open year round.
Okay.
Although I don't think I've ever used it outside of like normal pool.
Oh, well, I await my invite.
Yeah.
The debt hit $40 trillion. You want to talk about that?
Oh boy, that's a bad news.
It's a big number.
Bad news.
Big number.
$40 trillion.
Is any of this debt occurring on American soil?
I was reading about the Washington Post had the more total boomer luxury communism type stuff that's contributing to the debt.
Yeah,
the statistics
right.
on like. How much people right now are getting out of Social Security and Medicare versus what they put in
is just sickening.
It sickens you to your stomach.
Yeah.
Like how much more they're getting than they ever get. Because it's not the case that they're just, well, they paid in, so they get what they paid in. They're getting they're getting like huge numbers of, let me try to find some of these statistics.
Yeah, I was getting kind of black-pilled about this over the weekend.
It's very black-pilling.
Yeah, because like people keep talking about, well, you know, eventually, you know, we won't be able to sustain this, right?
Yeah.
And I was just like looking up like, okay, what does that actually mean?
Right.
Right? Like, you know, well, we already have a huge deficit and a massive amount of debt. Well, why can't we just keep doing that forever, right? It's because like eventually, you know, everyone who's buying U.S. government bonds is in a room being like, oh, we were expecting the taxpayer to pay us back, but I realize it's actually you that's going to pay me back by lending the government money. Why don't you just give me that money right now, right? And so then no one gives the government money. Interest, you know, in order to attract investment, interest rates go through the roof. All the banks fail, you know, all your assets that you stashed away.
The money becomes worthless.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, well, that sounds pretty bad. But that's also like, I guess, kind of inevitable.
Just what's going to happen.
Yeah, right. Like, what are we going to have some responsible government come in and be like, okay, we're going to, you know, take some tough medicine and... You know, cut entitlements and raise some taxes. And
in order to stop that, we would have to build a new building where that parking lot is.
Yeah.
And these retirees getting all the money.
Gonna say
they
no.
They have plenty of time because they're not fixed income. Oh, no. They don't have a job to go to. They're going to show up at that city council meeting with their... Save the parking lot signs.
Right. Yeah. So this is the solution. It's like, okay, no. The old people, they won't let us cut the entitlements. We don't want to raise the taxes because that'll kill the growth.
Yeah.
And so, okay, but we'll try to grow our way out of this by building more apartment buildings and data centers.
That won't let us do it.
No.
Won't let us do it.
The people
I consent.
Paying.
I consent. I don't. Doris.
Yeah.
We got to get Doris on board.
Yeah.
It's pretty black-pilling.
What are you doing to your children, Doris?
Yeah, no. It's no good.
Yeah. Well, on that happy note,
I guess let's just wrap it up. Let's just say that's it.
It's the last podcast.
No, it's not the last podcast. Yeah. We'll definitely be back next week. We gotta do something.
Gotta do something.
Maybe the AI will do the podcast.
Oh, okay. I kind of like that idea.
Maybe we should ask the AI what would a freed-up podcast, what we should talk about on a freed-up podcast.
Yeah, I'll probably have like... news items.
No,
and shit.
No, not good. No, we're not gonna do that. We will be real people who bleed, as
right.
I have done.
Yeah,
I bleed for you, our loyal fans.
Robbie is too
drink
modic.
Of this blood.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're
no,
going
you
to
don't
blasphemy
like that.
Territory.
Yeah, you don't like that.
I was gonna say you got stigmata, but you're too embarrassed to admit it. So,
and if you touch your hand to my wounds,
boy, okay. God, I did not.
Yeah,
not endorse
he's
this.
Not part of this. Yeah.
All right, very good.
See you next week.